And welcome to Small Screen Justice, a podcast about superhero TV. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jesse, and today we're discussing Season 1, Episode 7 of The Flash, entitled Power Outage.
Alright, so getting right into it, what would you grade this episode?
I'd give this episode an A-, I think. I thought it was definitely one of the better episodes of Flash so far, if not the best episode. Mm-hmm. I still think that there's room for it to grow and get even better. So I'm not going to give it an A or an A+, but I think that it's definitely a really great episode.
Yeah, personally, I love this episode. I'm giving this episode an A. I know it isn't perfect. I know there probably will be episodes better than this, that will make me maybe regret this grading. But at the time of this grading, this is my favorite episode of Flash and my favorite episode of Superhero TV so far this season. It was really fun. It had some really good character development for Barry. Good stuff with Wells all around. Good conflict. Great balancing of villains. Great balancing of multiple story arcs going all over the place, and it really felt natural. So I had a ton of fun with this, and I have very few negatives, so I went with an A.
Yeah, no, totally. So I think one of my favorite things about this episode is from sort of a its point in the show, mm-hmm. In the arc of the show, is that I think it was really good timing for having an episode where Barry loses his powers, especially because he's been gaining them really quickly.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm a little bit nervous for the show because I think that he might be getting powers too quickly. It seems like he's getting a new power or like a new sort of like upgrade every episode.
Yeah.
And I think that there's you could reach a point where he's like, okay, he has all his powers and now he's just dealing with stronger and stronger villains.
Yeah.
But then usually in a show like this, I feel like when you have to deal with a stronger villain, then you come up with a new power and then that's how you defeat them.
Yeah.
So I'm just a little bit worried that
there's
going to be sort of a breaking point.
Okay, so I have a couple responses to that. One is that I definitely see where you're coming from, because we've had past shows like Smallville where basically Clark started off season one where he was like strong and fast, and then like late season one we had like getting heat vision, season two we get X-ray vision, way later on we have some hints at flying. You know, the breath comes later, the hearing comes later. So that was, like, over many seasons that you slowly got these things. So I totally understand where you're coming from. That actually worked really well for that show. But here, I think about it like Spider-Man. If there was a Spider-Man show, he'd have all his powers right off the bat, and it would be about finding inventive ways to defeat the new villains. It would be about using science, using your brains, and I think that they've set that up pretty nicely with Cisco and everybody helping him, that, you know, there's a very Spider-Man-like way of dealing with the show going forward.
Yeah, that's a good parallel. I'm just thinking, like, it is sort of interesting because, well, I can't really talk about Spider-Man TV. I just remembered, obviously, there have actually been a lot of Spider-Man TV shows, but
yeah.
Yeah, for most of my knowledge of Spider-Man comes from the
movies.
Films.
Yeah.
Like, two out of the five that have been made have been origin stories.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, they're, like, he's still getting his powers, but yeah. That is totally a reasonable thing, and I'm excited to see where the show goes.
Yeah, and I also think that once time travel comes into the show, the way he is able to do time travel, how, like, that is, like, a whole other set of powers, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, totally. So, it's going to be real interesting when this becomes a time travel TV show. Yeah.
Totally, totally changes the whole ball game for the show.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also like the other thing that, you know, it's a little bit cliche, but I thought it was handled well, was how Barry losing his powers emphasizes how he's a legitimate hero with or without them.
Yeah. So I was actually, going off that point, I was pretty worried when I saw the promos for this episode, because it just felt like, oh, another episode that's all focused around the random villain of the week, and he loses his powers, and there's a Smallville episode that's exactly the same as this, and I was like, this is just totally gonna be like, he loses his powers, and then he does it, and he's a real hero, and I was like, I just think that the way they brought in Wells, and the way they brought in the other characters, and I didn't even know there was gonna be a second villain, and bringing back Girder and everything, it just really made the whole episode work a lot better for me, and just Barry's just such a fun, likable lead, it really, really helps.
I think the one thing that I wish had been hit a little better, I felt like, to me, it felt really cliche, the whole, like, oh, it's just a mental block, you just have to believe in yourself.
Yeah, I kind of wish they had left that part out, actually.
Yeah, I wish they'd, like, just had it be, like, that it was coming back slowly,
yeah,
or something like that, like, or in bursts.
Yeah.
Or, like, he couldn't control it or something.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I was also a little worried, like, the first time where he just, like, goes and confronts the villain without his powers, as like, is this really all they're gonna do? But I did enjoy that he also was like willing to risk everything Wisk possibly dying for it, and that he was, putting it in the hands of Caitlin, that she had to believe in him too, and that, so that I like their growing bond, and I don't know where they're going with it, if it's just like a brother sister thing or not, but
yeah, it's weird. It comes off to me a little bit like she's the worried mother of Star Labs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. There's definitely a little bit of, not specifically maternal, but a little bit maternal vibe.
Which I think makes some sense given her loss of...
It is true.
Yeah, but Nare brought up literally the exact same sentence last week, so...
True, fair enough.
Yeah. So we also have the whole idea of him sort of being addicted to his powers, that, like, the loss is, like, a huge loss for him. Actually, I thought made a lot of sense, he felt like nothing without them, which I think, they could have even gone even further with it, but...
Yeah, they didn't go very far with it. I think that it is interesting for him because he's felt really helpless his whole life, and he's also been, doubted his whole life because of what he saw as a child. So I think that his sort of, connection to his powers and feeling like it's, it completes him makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that they probably could have worded it a little bit better because it, parts of the dialogue, it felt a little bit like he was talking about, a drug addiction almost.
Yeah.
Which made me less comfortable with it, but I think that, the actual sentiment
makes sense. Do like... that we've had so many superhero movies about the powers are a curse or it's just such a heavy burden, and the fact that he just loves having his powers is very refreshing, and having him do the coffee thing at the beginning and the thing with the mugger, I thought that was all really fun.
Yeah, and it's not that they aren't talking about powers being a curse, because for pretty much all the other beta humans, with some notable exceptions, the power is a curse, especially Plastique.
Yep.
It's really similar to is it The Last Stand that has the cure?
Oh yeah, Last Stand has the cure.
Yeah, as bad as that movie is, definitely sort of similar to that in terms of some people can control the weather and that's freaking awesome, but then there's other people who if they touch someone they might explode.
Yeah, exactly.
it's a big it's an interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah. All right, so getting into specifically what's happening with Blackout. So we have this opening origin scene with him, which I felt was a little maybe not unnecessary, but you thought...
So the reason that it could be considered unnecessary is because they go over all the information that's in it and then a little bit more in dialogue later.
Yeah.
But personally, I would much prefer to see that and then maybe have a momentary flashback to it or something that. Like not like a flashback of dialogue, but just a flash of an image that we see in the beginning. And I know that we talked about it. You were saying that you think that if they did that, they should have shown
his friends dying
rather than the accident itself.
I mean, I guess that might have been a little too graphic or something, but it was that's the hardest hitting part of that story for me.
They could have used a wide shot and it would have been horrible.
I guess to me, I totally see where you're coming from. I guess after the actual scene they showed, what played out exactly as I was expecting it to, I didn't feel like any new information was really gleaned from it. So I was
and the drug acting was super bad.
Yeah.
Also, they kept saying they were tripping, which is not a thing that happens when you're drinking alcohol. Yeah. Anyway.
But talking about Blackout more overall, I really liked him. I liked that he was more sort of, he had this need to gain the energy, that he had this legitimate issue and guilt, driving him, that he really had a legitimate reason to be upset with Wells. He was a more complex character than we usually get, so I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I would agree overall. I think that I think his character has more complexity. I don't think that they delved into it a tremendous amount, partly because they were strapped for time.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the only way that this episode really had a drawback for having multiple villains, because overall they handled it brilliantly. And speaking of that, within the Blackout storyline, they had the scenes with Girder, which I thought were really well done. I do wish that, in retrospect now, I wish that they'd had the Girder episode a little bit earlier in the season, because... literally, he got caught last week, and he's dead this week.
Yeah, I wonder whether... Do you think it's maybe that they're they want to make sure people remembered who he was? I legitimately, that's a question I have.
I think that they could have put it back one, or I think they probably could have put it back even two episodes.
Yeah.
There haven't been that many episodes.
There's only this far. There's seven, so...
Yeah, we're really not that deep into this show.
Yeah,
After
no,
the
I definitely think it did feel a little surprising, but I also, and maybe a little too quick, but I also thought it was really exciting because they brought him back in a way I totally wasn't expecting. I liked, that he actually got some interesting development here with, that he told Barry to run, that he wasn't just the stupid bully. And Barry's reaction was amazing to me, and that's just like one of the best character beats for him, I think, so far.
Yeah, and like his line later where he's talking to Wells, where he's like, "His blood is on my hands," or "His blood is on me." Yeah, I thought that was like that got really intense.
No, that I think that was really great, and that I actually like. I never would have thought that after last week's episode that I actually felt bad that he died. Like that, like hit me.
Yeah,
That hit me a little bit. Like,
Gerder got more character development in the 4 to 5 minutes that he had in this episode than he did in his own episode last week.
it's pretty funny. The one big issue that I think both of us had was that they didn't really show the fight. Like.
Yeah, because it would have been freaking awesome.
Yeah, I really would have. I was like, holy crap, they're like really going for it, and then they didn't really go for it, but
Yeah,
whatever.
like they showed that first beat in the fight, and then they showed the end of the fight, or like not even the end of the fight, just him
Him,
dying.
yeah. But no, but I definitely think his inclusion was just nice because I love when they do all this world building and they bring back these one-off characters and they have them interact with other characters and it makes it so that like we I feel like last week's episode had a bigger point than just seeing him take on his bully, like
Yeah, for sure. And on that note, I think that it's probably time to talk about another one-off character that came back in the form of William Tockman, Clock King. For those of you who don't remember, which included me, actually, the Clock King was actually in an episode of Arrow last season. He was the guy who coordinated bank robberies with extremely precise timing, and he also has a terminal illness, and the reason he was robbing banks was so that he could get money, not to heal himself, but actually because his sister had cystic fibrosis.
And I think it's there was a nice touch that they like included stuff like that this week in case you may have forgot it or you just bringing that forward. So it's interesting. I don't know. So I immediately remembered, but so I don't know whether if I hadn't remembered that we'd seen him before. If I'd be like, oh, is he a little bit too much too fast?
Yeah, so I had like completely forgot. Like, I saw him and I was like, he looks kind of familiar. But then I just like wrote it off as he's like, those glasses are on a lot of weirdo characters in media. I totally thought that they made him work within the context of the episode, especially by like having his first line be about Barry's watch. And then like,
And
and
it
like his name also, like typical of comic books, is Talk Man, like TikTok.
I thought that it was great just to have a non-meta human on the show actually dealing with that, having someone who's a villain that doesn't have to have crazy powers. I thought, and the way that I think that he's just really a fun actor, and yes, he's definitely kind of, theatrical and over the top and very cartoony, but the reason to me that like something like that works really well in the show is because the show has been that from the beginning. Since the, opening monologue from Barry, it is cheesy and
Yeah,
they're
no, yeah,
embracing
I
that,
think that this show is in some ways brave for just going ahead and being like, this show is a lot of fun and is like really over the top. It's about a guy who can run faster than anything and wears a bright red jumpsuit.
Whereas if you brought this guy into Gotham, I would have been more like, is this show serious or not? Because you definitely want me to take the crime stuff and all that, corruption super seriously, but when you have things like this, it's like hard to balance.
Yeah, we were also talking about how Talkman on Gotham would be one of the more mellow characters, just because everyone on Gotham is so incredibly over the top, especially if they're actually from the Batman universe. Yeah, I also really like that he wasn't a metahuman. I think that it's important that we see that non-metahumans can also be a threat. I mean, even though if he'd been in full Flash condition, obviously he would have been able to run in and take Talkman like to the roof in a second. But
I actually was wondering whether that arc was gonna end with him trying to take him on without his powers, because like maybe they brought him in so that he could take him on without powers, but I really liked how it ended instead, having Iris, actually take him down. To me it's still like, I mean, she's still got her gun from Eddie and all that stuff, but they're clearly making an effort here to make her more than just, Laurel was kidnapped over and over again in season two and season one, and they're trying to do something different here, and I appreciate the effort.
Yeah, no, I totally liked that she actually did defeat Tuchman after he was like, "I want to take her because you seem like you'd cause trouble to
Yeah,
Jill."
exactly.
I think that they did. I generally think that they've been doing a decent, especially the last 2 weeks, they've been doing a decent job with Iris. I think that, as we've mentioned many times on this show, she has Lois Lane syndrome. But I also think that a lot of the reason that bothers us is mostly because Lois Lane is a character who exists in DC Comics, and we're just like, it's so easy to compare characters to her and she'd be like, she's a knockoff of Lois Lane.
Yeah, but even more, like, my dad literally brings it up every single week that if you've watched Smallville, Lana Lang had, like, the exact same, like, girl next door that the guy's in love with, and she doesn't know it, and she works at a coffee shop, and then Chloe, the other character on Smallville that liked the main character, was an investigative reporter. So it's just like, they combined the
Yeah,
two characters.
and but I mean, like, a lot of that is like Iris West in the comics is also a reporter, so it's not like they've really deviated that much. That in fact, in a lot of ways, they've scaled her back in terms of her Lois Lane ness because she's not a reporter, she's a blogger, which it might just be sort of an updating type thing,
And
but.
I'm pretty sure the whole like sister brother dynamic thing is new to him. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure Joe is not even a character. I might be wrong about this. I don't want to say it, but I'm pretty sure that he's not a character from the comics.
Well, can't remember from looking it up, but I do know that Iris West is Wally West's aunt, and that in the comics, Iris and Barry Allen are,
Together.
are an item.
I knew that.
All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if Joe existed, but I don't think he's in this capacity that he is in this now. So, did you want to talk about Eddie at all, or do you?
Yeah, I really, really love Eddie as a character. And which like makes me feel, especially I've been betrayed by Joss Whedon too many times. If this isn't Whedon, but like just it's too much of a thing because I love Eddie to death now because he's like now he's got a backstory and seems like a genuinely nice person and he like seems like he's fun to hang out with. He like makes an effort to be friendly to Barry and to help Barry deal with his issues. He's a hero. He like trusts his girlfriend to do things. He's just super great, which makes me think that he's probably is going to be revealed to be Reverse Flash at some point, but I really don't want it to be. And we'll
I
get back to
also
that at the
Yeah, we could talk. Do you want
later.
to guess do you have anything else you want to say about this storyline, or can we get to the well stuff? Just that you like the comedy, maybe?
Also, there were a few moments in this episode where I really liked the comedy. At the end, when Eddie is on morphine or pain meds of some kind, it
It was
was really
hilarious.
funny.
I really enjoyed it too. I thought that was a great
Yeah,
beat.
and the other bit of comedy that I enjoyed in that scene was when Joe pushes over the flowers, sort of like how he dropped the mug earlier, and the mug had broken, which was a funny bit. But when he pushes over the mug and Barry runs over and catches it really fast, just the way he says, "Awesome!" was like, it's yeah, it reminded me of a comic that I saw where Iron Man is talking to Spider-Man, and he's like, "Can you stick to this? Can you stick to this? Can you stick to glass? Like, glass is a sheer surface. How can you stick to the Hulk?" Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, just sort of reminded me of that type of like almost childlike wonder.
Joe's been great with that in general, like the voice. He was so excited about the voice and everything too.
Yeah, Joe, I think, is one of my favorite characters on the show, to be honest.
Totally agree. Yeah, me and Nari were saying last week that we were like, would be more excited to see Joe and Detective Lance crossover than Flash and Arrow.
Yeah, because they'd also be hilarious. Because like, they both take their job seriously, but Lance is so, partly just because he's from the Arrowverse, he's so serious. Yeah, he's just so much more serious than Joe is, and it's partly just because of the tones of their shows. But I think it'd be funny
But as
together.
but going off the whole Reverse Flash thing from earlier, so I don't. I mean, we're definitely gonna talk about how whether Wells is a Reverse Flash and all that stuff. But I don't know how they're gonna do it with Eddie now, because I totally thought at first, oh, like Iris will fall for him and he'll get angry and all this. But that does not seem like Eddie at all. Like he has like no darkness in him right now. So.
Yeah, no, like it would have to, I think that the only way that they could do it would be to, like, maybe he could get like brainwashed by someone
But that's
or like something really traumatic would have to happen to him and he'd have to think that it was Barry's fault
actually
and
the
get superpowers at the same
you
time.
bringing that up actually makes me nervous, because you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Slade, and I actually was not a fan of how they handled Slade. I really liked him when he was, the friend on the island, and I was getting all pumped for a long-term arc where he like as a human being arcs in a way that makes sense into being a villain. And I really hope that they don't take this really great positive Eddie and just, like, have an accident happen and then he's insane. Like, I don't want that. So don't do that.
Yeah, so like, because the last scene in this episode almost feels like a confirmation that Wells is going to be Reverse Flash, because he's like, you have a way to steal the Flash's powers. I'm really interested in that.
Okay, the only thing about that, though, that's weird for me is that, so he's saying that, but Reverse Flash already has the powers, and if he isn't already Reverse Flash, how did he get back in time? You know, like, is he the one in the suit at the end of last episode? Because I totally thought he was the person in the suit at the end of last episode.
Yeah, but... me too. Except for the fact that it's so, like, part of it is just that it's so obvious to a degree, except they're keeping it ambiguous enough that it's not completely obvious.
Yeah.
That I feel like it's all a red herring.
I see.
But I don't want it to be, I don't think that it would work. They'd have to do something really slaty or something crazy to make it not be Wells.
I mean, it could also be Eddie having grown up like 30 years, like I guess 10 years later, right? Could be Eddie 10 years in the future having come back in time. But so as far as Wells goes, I think that if Wells is revealed to be I've heard a lot of rumors about there being multiple Reverse Flashes, and there have been in the comics too, that if Wells is one of them, the reveal isn't going to be that he's Reverse Flash. It's going to be why he's Reverse Flash and what his plan is. And I totally think that he thinks what he's doing is in, you know, for the best interest of everybody involved, or for the greater good, at least.
And like, to relate to that, I thought that sort of the character, the stuff where Wells is talking in this episode about when he's putting in his logs with the computer,
mm-hmm.
and he's talking about Barry's development,
mm-hmm.
And how he's like, he's heroic, but he's too attached to people, and like, I'm nervous about it.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's like, actually, that's gonna be what drives him.
Yeah.
And then like that, and with Barry's speech where he says, oh yeah, I forgot your game is chess. We're all just pawns to you.
Yeah.
He's, like, so angry.
Yeah.
I think that is a really interesting thing for Wells in terms of, like, why he wants to do what he wants to do.
Well, my question also is, do you think the implication of him saying that's what's going to drive him is the implication that from now on Wells is going to start screwing with everybody that he cares about because he knows that will push him to be better?
Oh, I bet that it's going to be something like that.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I think that he is a villain who thinks of himself as a hero.
I think he's doing it. He thinks he's doing it for the greater good, but his perspective is really screwed up.
Yeah. Or it might even be like, maybe he was like sent from the future by someone or something.
Mm-hmm. My theory that I mentioned last week was that something really, really bad happened, and Flash wasn't able to stop it in the future, and so he's doing whatever it takes to make Flash stronger than he ever was before. And that literally will do anything because the event in the future is so bad that it's worth
it. Although the event that we're seeing in this episode, it looked like it's a crisis thing.
Yeah.
And it's definitely that Flash is gone.
Yeah, so the other possibility I was thinking this week when they kept showing this, maybe Flash dies and he cares about Flash and doesn't want Flash to die. I wouldn't be surprised if he was like Flash's son or something like that either. Like,
yeah, maybe he's Bart Allen.
That would be really interesting. I mean, a lot of people thought he was Flash.
That's out the window now.
Yeah, I don't think he is. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it would have been interesting, but I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah.
And also, those two actors look a little bit alike, but they don't look like... He doesn't look like an older version of Grant Gustin.
He looks like he could be related, though, so I think
that's
possible. But as far as, like, the direct drama of this week, so, like, the fact that... I was really happy that they actually had him tell them that he used Girder, because I thought he was just going to be, like, another thing in the background they weren't going to deal with. And yeah, Barry's speech was great, and then I really enjoyed the way that he dealt with that, with talking to, you know, sort of taking on, was it Blackout, and sort of the fact that he knows everybody that he killed, you know, that he's willing to sacrifice himself. The thing is, I totally believe him. I don't know if you did, but I totally believe that he does care about each, that he does, like, know that he killed all these people, that he does feel bad about it, and that he was willing to sacrifice himself there to save Barry because he thinks that Barry is needed.
Yeah, no, it is definitely interesting. Yeah, and also in that bit, when he's naming those characters, according to IGN, two of the characters that he named were Elongated Man and Fire. So not Firestorm, who he does mention at the end, but also the DC Comics character, Fire.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see whether those were just name drops to get people excited, or if they were name drops because they're going to be metahumans.
Yeah. I mean,
Except
elongated
those are all
man.
people who are set to be specifically dead.
Yeah, but
So like,
also, I mean, think about how many villains we've had that were supposed to have been dead. Girder was supposed to have died in his accident. Blackout was
that's
supposed to have
true.
died in his accident.
In the paper, in like the paper headline, it
Yeah.
says freak accident, one injured, two dead.
Really? I
Yeah,
thought, okay,
that's
I
definitely
could have
true.
sworn. Maybe I'm wrong.
We know that Ronnie Raymond is presumed dead, and we know that he's coming back.
Yeah, there you go.
But also, he was like actually in the thing,
Yeah.
so I think it's a little more sense.
Yeah. Okay, what else? Do you have anything else you want to talk about, or?
No, I thought this episode overall was one of the stronger episodes, if not the strongest episode of the season. I'm excited to see where they go with it. I'm excited for next week is the man in the yellow suit, right?
Well, next week is the
Or
big
next week is Flash
crossover.
versus Arrow, and then
Yep.
it's the man in the yellow suit.
Yeah, and that's the winter finale.
Yeah, that's the word for that. So it's going to be an exciting 2 weeks of Flash coming up.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We have some fun plans coming up for the big crossover. So, if you want even more of our content, you can check us out on Twitter at Superhero TV Pod. We have superhero news for movies and television on there. We update daily. You can also check out our blog, smallscreenjustice.wordpress.com.
Yep, and also if you have any interest in getting involved and maybe sending in a review of the podcast or even just your own thoughts on the episodes, you can send us an email at smallscreenjustice@gmail.com. And also please rate and review us on iTunes.
Yes, so thank you for listening and
We'll be back in a flash.
nice.